Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. From IBM to unemployment, the escape from Unemploymentville, 22 true stories. Tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Ann Emmerich is a former IBMer who spent a turbulent time in her self-named Unemploymentville. She's a programmer by day, author by night. In 2013, like thousands of others, she was laid off from her corporate position. Her subsequent job search brought her two job offers that she accepted, only to have them rescinded days before she was supposed to start working. Interested in learning what quirky, horrible, or inspiring things were happening to other people who were out of work, Ann created Unemploymentville.com. That's an online community. And her new book is Escape from Unemploymentville, 22 True Stories. She's a fellow Dartmouth grad, a fellow IBMer. I was there, and I was and went through Unemploymentville, not at IBM, but later on. So we have a lot in common. How are you, Ann?
Very good. Thank you, Jim.
Tell us first off why you wrote this, because I read in the book that even your family and friends thought you were a little bit nuts to try and put this together.
The primary reason was a feeling that when people are out of work, they're very isolated. And despite the fact that obviously there are, you know, many thousands of people going through the same thing, and I felt that by sharing stories, we could make that experience better for other people. So it was kind of a desire to make things better for the next person that went through something similar to what I was going through.
And we should add, we're actually going to have two of these true stories in later segments. And I notice a lot of the folks in this book who were really going through tough times, always thinking of helping others coming after them. Tell us briefly what you did at IBM and how you got RAID, which is what they call resource actions, the nice term for laying off.
Right. So I was a programmer at IBM. I had been there quite a few years. I'd actually been there and left IBM for another job and had come back, and the most recent stint had been 8 years. And I had joined a different department about a year ahead of being laid off. And my manager, I'm sure, was given some number of people that he had to decide to lay off, and it made sense to me why I was chosen, because his group or department had support of existing products that were out in the field, and I was not on those projects. I was on a new development project that was slated to be ended anyway. So, you know, obviously it makes sense to keep the people that you need to support products in the field and to lay somebody off that you're not even really sure exactly what you're going to use them for next. So it made sense to me, and yet I still didn't see it coming. I always say I had learned the lesson that anybody could potentially be laid off. I'd seen it happen, and yet somehow or other it still came as a shock.
Now, it must have come as a shock, too, as you went through this, and you described this. You're not a quitter. You're very resilient, but you said in these 9 months you had more despair than any other time in your life.
I did. I did, and it wasn't too long after I had news that I was going to be laid off that I realized that I was feeling bad about feeling bad, meaning that, you know, I was in theory in a pretty good position to take the severance pay and move on to something else. And so a part of me felt confident, felt good, felt like this was an opportunity, and yet a part of me that I didn't really fully understand yet was feeling bad. And I do view myself as a positive thinker and somebody that looks on the bright side. And, you know, if I get down, I don't get down for long. So there was also kind of this, you know, what's wrong with me that, and it just compounded. And I, as I had said, since you mentioned in the book, but, you know, I think a lot of it was simply that message of, you know, we had to choose somebody to lose, and we chose you. You know, the ISA voted off the island. It honestly never feels good, no matter how much you know that it makes sense.
Did you find yourself actually depressed? I know you said you lost three roles simultaneously.
Right. I'm sure. I mean, I was definitely depressed, you know, that's, I think, also pretty common. I didn't end up, you know, seeing a counselor or getting a depression, an antidepressant medication or anything. So, I mean, I certainly never had a diagnosis. I never had anybody give me a diagnosis of being depressed, but I certainly was, you know, very, very down. Whether it was clinical depression or not, it was a really rough time for me.
And you simultaneously empty nester, you'd been the breadwinner, and you'd like the whole work structure, right, all hitting you at once.
Right. So one of the things that is hardest for people losing a job is losing the work community, losing that connected shared projects. And this did happen for me to coincide with my youngest son moving all the way out to Wisconsin and, you know, not needing my help. And how much that was part of me feeling down became really clear to me when he had an issue that he had actually needed help with moving his possessions out. The company that hired him would pay for a mover, but somehow or other he had, you know, made a mistake in reserving or setting up for them to move his belongings. And it happened that he needed them moved a couple weeks after he started his job. And he and I were, he was in classes and training, and, you know, he had called me and told me, I don't know what I'm going to be sleeping on. I don't know how to get this stuff out here. I'd offered to give him a hand. I said, well, you know, I'm home a lot, so I'll make some calls and see what I can do. And I made the calls, and I said, you know, Dan, there's, you know, it's just not going to get out there when you want it to. And I said, the only thing we could do was, you know, I could drive to where the stuff was in storage by where he went to college, and his brother, who lived somewhat close to that, could meet me there. And this is ultimately what we did. We loaded up, like, the smallest size U-Haul. It held everything that he needed, and I drove it from Pennsylvania out to Wisconsin. And, you know, so that was clearly, that was like my big mom performance, you know, of 2013, was to kind of rescue him in this one last way that he needed a hand, that he wasn't quite independent adult on yet. And I could tell. I was like, okay, wait a minute. This is a feeling I've missed. You know, I'm needed. I'm doing something. It was ended up being something with both my kids. And it was very sad when I returned. I flew back. We did it as a one-way rental. I flew back and I picked up my car at the airport. My other son picked me up and I was driving home. And it happened to be my son and daughter-in-law are both teachers. it happened to be the day I was driving from Pennsylvania back to my house in New York for after doing this, was their first day of work in the fall. So that feeling of everybody in my immediate family was going off to work, and I wasn't, and it was tough. It was really tough.
We got a real sense of that. Okay, in the last couple of minutes here, tell us ultimately how you got through it.
A lot of talking with friends. One thing that I did that was right. So I had initially thought I would do website development independently until that became clear that that wasn't really going to be a full-time income. But the fact that I was doing some website development for people and I was taking courses related to doing that, both of those were positive actions that I was taking, that I had control over, where I was adding value to somebody else's life and providing a service. And the little bit of that and a lot of friends as I say, just taking some naps and cutting myself some slack on allowing myself to say, I'm struggling with this. I'm not knocking it out of the park was really what helped me.
And as we said, not only that, she had two job offers that were rescinded. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell of Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. You can go to biztalkradio.com, find the closest station to you, listen to our podcast, listen over the internet. And our next segment, we've got more stories from Unemploymentville.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place place for mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with ex-IBMer who lived through unemployment, Phyllis. She calls it Ann Emmerich, and now we're happy to be joined by John Fugazi. He was unemployed, and during that time he created Neighbors Helping Neighbors, a free job search, networking, and support group responsible for helping over 600 members find gainful employment. John's currently the executive director for the Hudson County, Jersey City Workforce Development Board. He's an adjunct professor as well. Welcome, John.
Hi, welcome.
Now, Ann, just you put together these 22 stories, and they're a cross-section of folks. Give us quickly the sort of the commonalities or the similarities or the key insights from across the board.
Well, I do like to say that everybody's story is unique from that point of view, but certainly a lot of folks had some tough moments, a little bit of doubt of you know, and a lot, almost everybody said, I thought I would be reemployed much sooner than I was. You know, I thought I'd be through this much faster and much more easily than I was. So that was an overriding theme.
All right. And we're going to jump now to John and kind of dealt with long-term unemployed, which is kind of a new thing. Give us a little bit of your background and then start to tell us about Neighbors Helping Neighbors.
Yeah, I was always very successful in my career. I did a lot of time working in the food business with some major chains. I was in food manufacturing and the cheese industry. And I never really had a problem when it was time to find another job to find one. And when I did start having some difficulties, I went into my own business to start with. I was doing quite well. And then when the economy really crashed, being a small business person was not a great approach. And as I tried to reenter the job market, I couldn't understand why I wasn't connecting. I was applying for jobs that were definitely a perfect match for my experience. But one of the things that I didn't realize was that I was getting older, and I really hadn't even conceived of the fact that with a lot of experience, being older would be a negative in the job. And I started doing a lot of research, which is what I do, and found out that there were serious changes to the job market, that the economy was actually transitioning. The technology and globalization had a huge impact on the job market itself. And I also learned that the government statistics really weren't properly reflecting what was going on. And that led me to start going out and attending meetings and networking and really trying to see, was I alone? Was this only an experience I was going through? And what I soon found out was there was a lot of people in the same situation. And to kind of address what Ann had mentioned, you know, the issue was that when we looked for a job 15 years ago, there were plenty of jobs to be had, so we didn't have to put a lot of effort in. You went into your network, and very quickly, you were back to work. The other issue was companies would give severance programs and cover your health insurance for a period of time. It was a lot more supportive employees that they wanted to let go. And today, companies are all bottom-line oriented and have cut many of those benefits out of their programs. So the job seeker really is put in a very desperate situation in what is still a very tough economy.
Go ahead. Tell us what Neighbors Helping Neighbors, how that emerged, what exactly it is, and why it's been so successful.
Yeah, so out of that, I went out and attended a couple meetings, different networking meetings that were going on, and I realized that there was a huge need. But many of the meetings focused around complaining about the economy and kind of woe is me. And what I really realized was that if you approach this as you would any other marketing adventure, you really needed to do two things. Number one, you needed to network. Sending resumes through online is not a successful way to get a job because so many people can do it, and companies are overwhelmed with resumes. So I started Neighbors Helping Neighbors, and in the first couple of weeks, we actually built an agenda, which was built on solid, reemployment and outplacement theory. And in a very short period of time, we had small groups. Generally, we like anywhere from 12 to 20 people. When you get bigger than that, you lose the personal attention. And when people start opening up and explaining, the group dynamics are incredible. And it really functions as a learning group, as almost a brainstorming session. And people would help each other, filling in the gaps with some of their experiences. And in a very short period of time, we started seeing people landing jobs from participating in this group. And me, myself, I had actually landed a job 3 months into starting the group in the Rib Ridge Library, where I was living at the time. And when I got the job, I felt so compelled that this was such an important help to the people that were doing it that I had to keep it going. And what we did is really, ensured that everybody followed the same agenda every week so that new people would get the same benefit of people who came every week. And the thing just took off. I started getting a little bit of media reporting on what we were doing. I had other libraries come to me. And the entire organization is completely unfunded and volunteer-driven. And what I learned through the years, and we're going to come up on our seventh-year anniversary in January, what I learned was the leadership skills that the individuals participate in, just in running the group and helping network the group, is a skill set that employers want. And it was a way for them to practice it and get better at it. So the group, while it's a very simple concept, really provides incredible dynamics for people. And again, our true stats are probably over 700. Many people land jobs and don't report back. But the other issue is keeping people motivated, because in this job market, it takes much longer to get a job than it did in the past. And when people get discouraged, it really hurts the whole process. And you have to stay positive. If an employer can read that you're negative, you're not going to be able to compete against the other people applying for those jobs.
It's really inspirational.
Those Neighbors has been incredible.
It's inspirational stuff to me. I was impressed that you had guys coming in who were sort of shy, and 2 weeks later you'd find out they were leading groups. Now, you've almost franchised this, right? There's a whole bunch of other Neighbors Helping Neighbors.
Well, the thing that's incredible is I pretty much open it anywhere, but what's very important to me is the program I built is very successful. And we have tons of web search, website resources to link people up. And through one of the articles, I got an incredible amount of press. I was on MSNBC. The USA Today did an incredible story on me. And what happened was I actually had a university that had a foundation in Madrid, Spain, who heard about me and reached out and said, can we run your group here in Spain? And again, there's no money that's transacted, but what's incredibly important to me is that you follow the program, because our organization's success rate and reputation is impeccable. It actually got me to, really got me into the career path I'm in now. I was discovered by the White House. I had several meetings with Secretary Perez, and I was part of a group that helped New Jersey win a long-term unemployment grant, which I went to work for initially. And again, that was kind of my transitioning from my food and marketing career in consumer goods into the whole workforce place. So I'm a huge proponent of volunteering in anything to really start building things that can help you network yourself back to work. But the most important thing is the job seeker has to really own this process and take this on. I get a lot of people, who don't really want to put the time in, and they're not going to have success. And I try to preach that to them early on. I give them a cold bucket of water, as I call it, to really wake them up and say, look, you're probably not going to get the job you had before, so you're going to have to really, put serious effort in.
All right, John, we've got about 30 or 40 seconds. Tell people how they can find Neighbors Helping Neighbors.
All right, great. Neighbors Helping Neighbors, the website is the best connection. It's nhnusa.org. And again, anybody can reach out to me from that website. I help anybody who needs help. And again, I'll help you get going in your job search career and career advancement.
Great stuff. Very inspirational. Good work. So we want to thank John Fugazi for sharing
this. Thank you, Jim.
Story. We'll be back with another true story in our next segment.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our Discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@biztv.com.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Anne Emmerich. She's written Escape from Unemploymentville, and now we're jumping across the ocean to London to be joined by Stephanie Brown. She is a property investor, career coach, and author, maintains a successful career in marketing and communications alongside those other vocations, and she's worked for some of the world's most iconic brands, including Nike. Stephanie's passionate about helping other people realize their potential. Thanks for joining us from London this morning, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us, first off, give us the short version of your story. What happened to you and how you made it back?
So about 4 years ago, I was working at Nike. Had a great job there that I really loved. Worked there for 8 years, but decided to leave to take a chance on a small unknown brand. And unfortunately, things didn't work out for me there. And 3 months later, during my probationary period, I was fired from that job. I spent the next 7 months hunting for my next job, which was a tough period in my life, and one I'm sure a lot of people can probably relate to. But when I finally did get through that period, I ended up with a fantastic job that was, you know, a million times better than the job that I had been fired from. And so my sort of belief in, from that is that, you know, being fired can be a good thing, and there's a lot of opportunities that come from it.
All right, now as we work with you on how you got back into action, the chapter in the book is binge watching Netflix. Tell us how important it was you to figure out how you had to plan every day to make sure you moved forward.
Yeah, it was really important actually, and it's a piece of advice I would give to anyone in the same situation is that it's really important to maintain a structure to your day. As I talk about in the book. I spent the first few days of my unemployment binge watching Netflix. I watched a lot of Netflix, and I soon found that it wasn't good for my mental health to be just sort of sitting around watching TV and not having a structure to my day. And so I found that, you know, planning up my day the same way I would if I was still working, you know, getting up and going to the gym in the morning, having meetings arranged, you know, even planning in the watching of Netflix was really important because it made me feel like I still had control over my life and the things that were going on, and it was a lot better for my mental health to have a structure to my day and feel like I was in control.
One thing I thought was interesting is you briefly went back to your old company for an interim period. How tough was it for you to swallow your pride and, you know, have to walk back in the doors there?
It was so tough. I would say it was probably as tough as being fired, if I'm really honest, because I left to go off to this amazing new job, and I was, you know, full of positivity and excitement about the new job I was going to, and I was really sure it was the right thing to do. And then while it was wonderful that they wanted me to come back for a short time, at the same time I had to swallow my pride and see all those colleagues that I had said goodbye to, you know, 4 months earlier. And, swallow my pride and admit that, you know, I got fired from the place I went to, and it was really tough. But the right thing to do, you know, sometimes you have to do these things to get by, and it was important that I went back there for that time.
Now, you were very creative in your job search. Tell us how you went after what you call hidden jobs.
Yeah, so I having worked for Nike, I kind of knew that all the best jobs, they're not going to necessarily be advertised online, and if they were advertised, I knew that the best way to find them wasn't actually through simply applying online. I knew that because I knew that that's how jobs at Nike got given out. They weren't necessarily through people who applied online. They went to people who knew people within the company already or who we'd worked with in other roles. So I knew that I had to kind of get out there and hustle and find jobs that were going that maybe weren't being advertised. And the only way to do that really was to find people who were in companies that I wanted to be hired into. So I used my network of people to introduce me to other people who subsequently introduced me to more people. And I spent my unemployed time networking, making friends, making contacts. I had interviews with companies like Google, Facebook, Bacardi, Topshop, and some really big brands here in the UK. And they all came about because I found people within those businesses who were hiring for roles, and I made my mission to find them personally. and meet them personally instead of simply just sending them my resume. And I found that strategies to be much more effective than simply sending your resume off into the internet, into the black hole of the internet, and hoping that someone picks it up.
Very impressive, I have to say. And now, you talk, it's very tough for people to enjoy this period, even though it's a break. You called yourself a nightmare to be around to your friends. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I just, for me personally, and I know a lot of people that I work with, when I coach people, they find this as well. I think our identity is so linked to our job, that when you lose your job, it can be a little bit like a death, you know, a little bit like a grieving process because you've lost something that you really identified with. And I sort of found that. I found that it really knocked my confidence. And I didn't mean to be so down about the whole thing. I tried to stay really positive, but just inevitably you do feel sad and you feel, you know, a little bit of grief and you get a little bit depressed maybe. And in that, you're just not as much fun to be around as you probably were, you know, before you were fired. And so, yeah, I had one friend in particular who I was very close to who I know I was really tough for her to be around. Thankfully, she persevered with me. We're still very close friends now, and we got through the other side. But I'd say to anyone that's listening that has a friend going through the experience, you know, it is a really tough experience, and they will get through it. But you've just got to stick with them because they will be difficult, and they'll be a little bit of a nightmare like I was, but they're certainly not intending to be. It's not on purpose.
One phrase, Stephanie, that came to my mind that people would said to me quite a bit during this time was they'd say, "Don't feel bad." You know, don't. And they'd say it. They meant to say it comforting. Don't feel bad about this, Anne. You know, we know you're going to get something, and that they meant to comfort me. And I found it really insulting in the frame of mind I was in because I felt like they were instructing me, don't feel bad, as though, like, don't feel pain, as though it was something I had control over. And in hindsight, I think what they were saying was we missed the Anne that, you know, usually comes in with a big smile on her face. But like you say, yeah, when your confidence is down, you're taking things in a negative light. So I can definitely relate to that.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think also,
I would agree with that, absolutely.
You made a good point in the book, Anne, too, that you need permission to feel bad for yourself. Now, Stephanie, you weren't content to just, you know, get a job. You wanted to make sure you build some risk protection in the future. Tell us, you did what you call side hustles.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of the side hustle. The side hustle is basically a small job or a business you build on the side of your 9-to-5 job. And when I did get back into working, you know, I gave myself a little bit of time to get back into my career. And then I sort of made the decision that, you know, if this was to happen to me again, you know, I wanted to have other stuff going on in my life that could generate an income and, you know, soften the blow if it was to happen again, or potentially do something I could build into a full-time career. So I started investing in property, and I built a property business alongside working in marketing still. And I invested a lot of time into that. I actually did a property course to learn how to invest in property, and I built up a business on the side of my 9-to-5 job. Which is there one of a passion that I love. It's something I really enjoy doing outside of work. It's great in that sense as well. But it is something that does generate an income for me, and it's something that potentially I could live off if I was to lose my job again. And in that sense, it makes me feel a lot more confident about, you know, where I am in the world and my ability to survive and to be self-sustaining.
We got about a minute left, Stephanie. You wrote a book called Fired, Why Losing Your Job is the Best Thing That Could Happen to You. What do you mean by that?
I think the first time I was fired, actually, I was in my early 20s, and I ended up with my job at Nike afterwards. And then the second time I was fired was the time I wrote about in the book, and I ended up in the job I'm in now, which is an incredible job working for one of Silicon Valley's biggest tech companies. So for me, the two experiences, as tough as they were, you know, if you've got the right mindset and you stay positive, you can actually turn all of the tough stuff that you're going through going through into a real positive, and you can come out the other side in a better place than the place you started in, and you really can make it, you know, one of the best experiences that can happen to you.
Nothing better than inspirational, and of course, there's nothing better than the British accent as well. Thanks for joining us from London. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship stations, Yale Radio, WYBC, and WGCH Greenwich. We'll have our final national segment with Ann Emmerich next. Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell, all talk and all crime. The nation's biggest murderers were the go-to source for the Moxley murder and the Skakel appeals, financial crimes on Wall Street, inside the crimes of Russia's Putin and more. The facts, the forensics, the inside stories. From the host of Business Talk with Jim Campbell, it's Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell, all talk and all crime.
Learn more about Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell by visiting Park City Productions 06604's Facebook page. That's Park City Productions, 06604.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's That's 800-711-6812.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Ann Emmerich. We've been getting through Unemploymentville with her this morning. And let's start where we finished the last segment. Is losing a job the best thing that can happen to you?
It can be. So I'm a big fan of using whatever comes into your life. A lot of people, when they hear you've lost your job, will say, you know, well, everything happens for a reason, or, you know, it's probably part of God's plan. And actually, those statements can feel really insulting to somebody who's lost their job. I know I heard that, and I thought, okay, so God is good with what I'm going through right now. You know, that doesn't feel too good. But one common theme in listening to people's stories was that most people were able to find something of real value going forward. In, you know, the case of somebody like John with Neighbors Helping Neighbors, he found a whole new passion and a whole new direction to his life. You know, from my point of view, I definitely found a different perspective on my regular work day. So in terms of is it the best thing that happened to you, that really depends on what you do with it and what lessons you take from the experience.
And again, there's 22 of them in the book, so you can get the whole range. And this also, it just doesn't happen to the normal Joe. It can happen to celebrities as well. She's got two good stories in the book. Joan Rivers, for instance, you know, appeared to commit career suicide at some point, and then her husband did commit suicide. She couldn't even get a job. Tell us briefly the story of Joan Rivers and then Conan O'Brien.
Okay, so Joan's real short version was that she was working for Fox Network. She had taken a job to have a late night again, at the same time slot as Johnny Carson. It was the end of her relationship in any sense with Johnny Carson. He never spoke to her again. Then when the show that Joan did failed, or Fox decided that it had failed and they fired her, she really had been essentially blacklisted in the industry by Johnny Carson and all of the power that he represented. And so she was out of her immediate job, but more important than that, she was really basically where she felt she couldn't get a job. But she didn't give up, and she, as she phrased it, she kept putting little boats out and hoping for one of them to come back. And bit by bit, she did start to get parts, you know, stage performances, stand-up performances. And she talks about it in accepting an award, one of the daytime talk show awards. And, you know, she basically becomes unable to speak because it was that tough a time and it's that emotional an issue.
Conan.
Conan was another late night. It was a common theme of late night folks, but so he had taken over. He was supposed to take over from Jay Leno. They ended up asking Conan to move the late night show to even later, as he said, into the next day. And he did not want to do the show in that way. And he chose to leave NBC and his contract. And as part of the contract settlement, he could not perform on TV for some number of months. So he was basically forced out of that job, and couldn't get a similar job, and he ended up deciding to create a show that he took on the road, live performances, and he created that show and toured with it. And he gave a speech at Dartmouth College. Actually, he gave a commencement speech at Dartmouth College where he talked about, among other things, he talked about the experience, and he says, you know, disappointment stings. And he said to successful people, disappointment can be very disorienting. And that phrase rang very true for me. If you are used to being successful and achieving, to suddenly feel that you're not able to achieve, that things aren't under your control, disorienting is a very good term for it.
And are there things you can do while you're working to help, you know, make yourself resilient if this thing, as you said, comes out of the blue as it always does?
I do think that there's some things. As Stephanie mentioned, having a side hustle can be important. I also think it's important to look at your relationships and the parts of your life that aren't related to work, to be careful that work doesn't become your life. I think we all feel at times pushed on our job to give more and more, and it's important to maintain those boundaries so that if your job ends, that there's, you know, less of a giant void in the middle of your life. One common theme in the stories was that people felt a loss of control, and I definitely think both while you're working and if you lose your job, it's good to have an area of your life that you know you can control and you know you can perform at. For me, one area like that was running. And I had, at the time that I lost my job, I had not been running particularly regularly. And some number of months into this, after I had gotten a job and then had it canceled just a few days before I was supposed to start, I thought, you know, I really need to try and get running again. It helps with my mental outlook. And I made a plan to try and run a longer race than any I had run. I had only run up to like a 10K in a race, and I looked at the schedule of upcoming races, and I picked a 15K, which at the time, with how little I'd been running, was fairly ambitious. But I made a plan, you know, increasing my run a mile every week, and mapped it out, and did ultimately run a 15K, not particularly well, but I did it like 5 months after I set this goal.
I have to say, Anne, all these stories are great and all inspirational, and you're all great, resilient people. I know you have a blog where people can contribute their own experiences. Tell us what that is for the folks.
Sure. So it's unemploymentville.com.
And the book is Escape from Unemploymentville, 22 True Stories, and they can get the book everywhere yet or not?
No, they can't get it everywhere yet. It's in pre-sales. We're running an Indiegogo campaign, and they will currently get a working draft, and then we'll get the final version when it is complete. We're getting some really valuable feedback from pre-selling and people seeing the working draft. There have been some suggestions, things that seem obvious to me now that the suggestion has been made, but that I didn't think of. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, we're happy that we got a sneak preview. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Our next show, we've got former chief operating officer at Walt Disney, and he was also assistant attorney general on antitrust under President Carter. Thanks to Ann Emmerich, John Fugazi, Stephanie Brown. Thanks to our national audience for listening. See everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.